got that little nagging voice in his head that's mine.
Welcome to Dads Being Dads, episode 215. He's Randy, I'm Jason. It's the first week of school for me. Second week of school, I'm exhausted. I can't believe
it's
it.
It's not second week, it's your first week.
It's my first, your second. I can't
understand
what's happening.
I think the school is fine. I mean, you got four kids, blah, blah, blah. They're all getting on a bus. I don't know what's going on. The much like the daylight savings problem, you know, where I get moms debating with me that their kids, what was the debate I have with them normally? That no matter how early they put their kids to bed, they always get up. And they had the opposite problem. They always get up at 5 a.m. Right. And so what about daylight savings? 5 a.m. Like, you're lying. They don't know the difference. So, related to school, we had to practice. Did we talk about this last time? We had to practice going to bed early, waking up early. And the key is to...
How do you mean you practice?
Well, the way you practice, because they won't go to sleep. The way you practice is by waking them up early for the last couple of weeks of the summer. Like, as if they're going to school.
This is
you go in the... Like, yeah. We were on vacation, and I was waking them up at 6:45.
Are you out of your mind?
No. You have to. Because then they fall asleep.
No, you don't have to.
You absolutely do.
No.
Because then they get tired, and then they fall asleep. And that's why I even took them running on Monday, so they would be more tired. Because we had Monday off, Labor Day. I took them running Sunday.
But you took them running?
Yeah, we went to the track and just went running. Did some intervals. Timed them to timed lap.
Okay.
Guess how fast Molly can do a lap in.
So lap's 400 meters, you said?
It's a quarter mile, yeah.
220.
It was right about 220, yeah.
Yes.
I think it was like 212 or something.
Nice.
Hold on, check, but.
Nice.
What about Max? What do you think Max did? Molly's the 6-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the 10-year-old boy
240
did? You think he was slower?
I don't know, because she's been running and you've been sort of lamenting about him being lazy, but he is playing soccer, so I'm having a tough... I'm going to go with 240. I'm sticking with my instinct.
She was 212. Yeah. I mean, he is on the A team. I think I figured out his problem. No, he did 144.
Oh, wow. All right. Wow. A lot faster. I'm surprised about it being that much different.
Yeah. Yeah. So, no, she did well, though. I mean, 212 is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think his problem. So ever since he was little and really started running, I was always telling him to run and to plant more towards his toes. And I probably made the mistake of saying, you know, run on your toes, right? When you're running fast, you run on your toes and sort of thing.
Yeah.
And he really listened, right? It sank in. He's got that little nagging voice in his head that's mine. And so he's always running on his toes. And his heels, like, never touch the ground.
Okay.
Like, ever. Which, on the one hand, it's like, well, good, you're not smashing your heels on the ground. But I think it's been a problem for him because he literally, it never touches the ground. So his ankles have become inflexible. Like there's no... He can't bend up. Like, he can't pull his toes towards his shins.
Yeah, isn't there like a...
There's a condition like that.
Yeah, a condition, yeah.
Yeah, so I was looking at it, and we were filming and doing slow motion filming and watching him run and trying to fix his form and all this kind of stuff, which is a good exercise to go through. And he was improving, and I'm like, dude, I think we figured out what the problem is, because now he's landing flat-footed.
But wait a second. If he's doing a sprint, don't you want to be up on your toes?
Yeah. Yeah. If you're doing a sprint, you want to be up on your toes. But if you're doing, you know, just a mile run or, you know, distance running or jogging around, he never puts his heels down.
Huh. All right.
Even in like the grass, you can see it. He's kind of bouncing on his toes. And I think that's what's been causing his ankle problem. So we started to adjust it. I think we've got to adjust. We've got it adjusted. I got him doing some calf stretches to kind of, you know, stretch out his...
Mm-hmm.
His ankles and ligaments and Achilles and whatnot, and it could be good. Because he already got into this, and we did a bunch of running. He's, oh, my ankle's hurting me again. I'm like, oh, God.
Oh, wow. Oh, so you're seeing – that's interesting.
Yeah. Start the season with injuries.
Yeah. Then you put on your suit and then become Dr. Randy and then start troubleshooting.
Right. Get on the mic. Get on the mic.
Okay. You put your suit on and then you become Dr. Randy and then you start troubleshooting.
Yeah. Different. You're sitting back again. Why?
I moved the mic.
Toward you?
Yeah.
Okay. It's awful.
I'm
up and down.
A foot away from the mic, as all right. podcast.com superstars says.
Fine. As long as you're consistent, you have to stay exactly there the whole time.
Okay. I can't stay exactly here. It's very awkward to have my...
So we timed it so that later we could time it again and see if they improve, which is good. That's about it. Yeah. Looking forward to that. Was that my whole story?
I don't know. Running form.
Oh, because of the sleeping. So I ran them. Yeah. And by the end of the day, they went to bed at like 7:15. Because they were so beat. Because we biked to the track. I ran them at the track. And then we biked to get ice cream. And then we biked home. And then Monday, they had soccer practice in the morning. And Molly came to his. And we just ran them and ran them and ran them. And then same thing. Then we went to the beach in the afternoon. And they fell asleep really early. Got up for school. So that's the key. I think that's the key. But, it's crazy. You're ruining their vacation. You got to do it. You got to adjust.
I didn't say you're ruining anybody's vacation. I just think you're insane.
Why? You're the one that's having all the problems.
I didn't have any problems with that. My kids are exhausted right now because it's 8:20 at night, and my daughter that got home from soccer practice was okay until she walked in the door. Yeah. She was great. She can run hot and cold real quick. This is my moody kid, but
I got a moody kid.
And she walked in the door and saw that my son was on the computer. I'll put a pin in that for a second, and then found out that my other daughter got to watch a show while we were at soccer practice and hit the ceiling because of technology. Right. It's totally irrational. She's tired. It was her first day back at school. So she had a full day at school. And then she came home. We had dinner. We had soccer practice. So she just ran out of steam all of a sudden. And when she runs out of steam, it's the boom off a cliff. Mm-hmm. So she's usually in bed before 8, and it was 8:10. So that was part of it. And
is she the second one?
Third one. My second one is the one that she could go. I think she doesn't get much sleep at all. And she's the one that gets the least amount of sleep and is the most even keeled. Well,
I think your third one is like my daughter. Helen. My daughter could sleep 12 hours a day.
Yeah. Well, no, Helen was in our room at 6:30 this morning. Like, she's the earliest riser right now. So, and she's the one that runs out of, she's runs moody. Mm-hmm. We're working on it, and she doesn't have all the skills yet to cope with some of her emotions. So it's definitely my most emotional kid, and we're working on it. And I tend to not be the most empathetic, but I'm working on it too. And we had a good chat today. So I didn't get upset and lose my composure as I do sometimes when it's late at night as well.
I've had that chat with my daughter, and I've asked her, I looked at her in the eyes and I said, why is there no in between with you?
Yeah.
Why are you either the happiest kid in the world or the saddest kid in the world? You just like this pendulum is just broken. It just falls to one side or the other. I can't understand. Where is the just kind of serene, normal, let's have a conversation and eat our dinner without screaming about what your brother is doing or had done?
Yeah, that's the thing. It's
she's quick to come up with an idea that she wants. And then once she realizes that it's something she desires, she's upset that it has not happened yet. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to sleep over at my friend, Beatrice's house, right? This is her new thing.
Yeah. Okay.
How come I've never had a sleepover? It just turns into like all of history. She has been wronged. I'm like, my goodness. So you just came up with this idea now?
Yeah.
And we're awful parents for not knowing that you would have wanted it last year.
Well, right. I mean, I was driving up the street and I'm like, oh, so you had a good day. School was good. You had good soccer practice. Yeah. And then, it's like, I had the worst day ever. And that's when I was like, all right, you on the back porch. And like, you have to. And of course, my wife's trying to read to the other kid. And, she's throwing this fit in that room. So the other kid's getting upset now because her book time's getting interrupted. So it's just like, yeah. But like I said, I think it's now. I was like, you just got to calm down and look at the good stuff that you liked about the day, not all the stuff that didn't go right. But man.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, but back to it. I mean, the school is all four kids went to school today. My youngest had hit kindergarten, so that was it was a bittersweet moment. Bitter for my wife and sweet for me.
Sweet for you because you don't have to pay for daycare?
No, because we have to pay for half a full day. I'm still paying for it. But I know it's insane. Full day should be available for everyone. Blah, blah, blah. I don't really want to care. I don't care. Fine. If you have that opinion, please don't write in. Don't write into us at dads being dads.
I'm not sure anyone really understands what you said. But yeah, your town.
My town does not have full day kindergarten. Some people are like, I think everybody should have full day kindergarten. I'm like, well, fine. But that's neither here nor there. But I am one day in to the school schedule, and I am exhausted and stressed out beyond belief. I'm like, what do you do?
You just go to work, right?
I would think, but I have endless homework. I'm like, how did I get myself in this situation where I have homework every night now?
You have homework?
Yeah, I have homework. Like, so I'm a volunteer. Like, I'm on the PTO board, right? Oh, and I'm responsible for coordinating the volunteer survey, which has just got done. And now I have no less than 3 emails from 3 different people today in my email. Like, did you sum up the volunteer survey yet? And we need – these are the lists of volunteers that we need. And they all have to be queried and blah, 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 blah. So I have to do that after the podcast tonight. I have to finish wrapping that up and then send that over to the school. And they have to query everybody. Then they have to send it back. And then I have to roll all those things up and send them to the different department heads. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, I have that. And then I have – the soccer, and I have the coaches meeting tomorrow night, so I have to write some notes up for that somehow. I don't even know how I'm going to do that tonight and on top of everything. I don't know.
It'll all work itself out.
Yeah, I know. But it's every night.
You got to stay up till 2 a.m. doing all these things.
Well, yeah.
My son was asking me, so are you going to have all those like cards that you usually make for our soccer team this year? I'm like, right. No.
Oh, no. No.
You know, could I? I'm burnt out a little bit of the.
That's what I mean.
Going the extra. Well, so now I'm just pulling it back to normal, right? I'm pulling it back to above average, maybe? I don't know. Regular coach? Because the laminated cards with instructions and name tags, I could do them this weekend, maybe, but we're going to have our first game this weekend, too. So I could probably get them done. For the girls, I should do them.
You don't have them still for the girls?
I don't think I ever had the 4-on-4 ones.
Oh.
Plus, what should I do? A diamond pattern? Should I do a 1-2-1?
Oh, I don't know.
Or a 2-2?
I always did 2-2.
Yeah, okay.
2-2. But other people did 1-2-1, I know, with middies.
I think I might do 1-2-1. So there's a cherry picker? We'll call him the cherry picker?
That's how we do it with my daughter's team. We do 3-2-1. We found that to be better.
Yeah. Striker. No offsides. We have offsides this year. So the kids, we were teaching them offsides at practice the other day.
How'd that go?
Good. No, the sixth graders know it already. And some of them are actually good the trap as well.
What's a trap?
Well, actually trapping the other team offsides.
Oh. Oh, really? Okay.
Which is just, you know, the defense pulls forward, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's all it is, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, so soccer's fine. Enough soccer talk. as I meant to tell you. This evening, I thought I was going to make it through another day, through one day, I should say, without some disaster between the kids. And
between your kids, or like, is this still soccer related?
Between my kids.
Okay.
Because every day, you know, they're playing or they're doing something, and you've said this before, and it's like inevitably something goes wrong and somebody gets hurt, and then it's just horrible. Things explode. They're screaming at each other. And they were playing this game in the living room for a while, and they're having fun. And they're sort of like, they were kind of pulling it back so that it didn't get out of control. I'm like, wow, okay, they're adapting. They're being good. They're not just turning up the dial on crazy until they start breaking windows. And then all of a sudden, like, they grab the piano iPad, which they're not supposed to do. Uh-huh. Like, that's the piano iPad, so stay on the piano. And they're looking at something. And I guess my daughter was needling my son a little bit. And he just has had enough of her bugging him and says, fine, you take it. And he throws it at her.
Oh, no.
Like, not overhead throwing.
Yeah.
He was sitting next to her. He just kind of tossed it into her lap.
Yeah.
But he hit her right in the eye with it.
Oh,
right at the corner of the iPad, square in the eye.
Does it have a case on it? A gel case? Or?
No, no. Oh, just bare metal edge. Ouch. Right into your eyeball.
Skin breaking? Blood?
No, okay. no, still. It was okay in that regard. It wasn't like a super hard blow. But I totally lost it. I'm like, I can't even Like, I mean, I was ready to just slap him. Like,
oh, we have a dad's being dad's the bad section. It's been a while.
So I didn't slap him in the face anyway. I gave him a good cuff over the shoulder blade kind of thing. You know, like it's the next best place to. And I'm like, okay, well, we got to work through this. Like, yeah, and then what he does, and this is what drives me, it makes me even more angry. He shuts down. You know, he doesn't get defensive. He doesn't apologize. He knows he's done something wrong, but he doesn't say anything.
Oh, man, really?
He won't speak. He basically buries his head in a pillow, or he'll just stare at you. He doesn't know what to do. His whole brain just shuts down.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, it's just like that. For an hour, he's just a zombie. So,
for an hour.
I got kind of mad at him. And then I'm like, all right, I got to fix this. And I tried to talk through it with him. And then I tried to get back into talking about his day and his friends and his life. And because inevitably it turns into like, oh, and then he gets down on himself, right? I'm the worst person ever. No one loves me. You know, it turns into that whole thing. And you can't have that, right? Because you can't have kids moping around thinking they don't belong.
I know. Yeah.
Like, everybody makes mistakes, but it's important you own up to your mistakes and just face them head on and be like, yeah, I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to hit you in the eye, you know. Try to do better. Like, it's important that you say these things and that you mean it. And I gave him some examples of, like, stuff I had done when I was a kid and an adult.
Oh, yeah.
I remember one very specific thing I did when I was a kid. And this is bizarre. This is why I told him about it. I was taking ballroom dancing lessons.
Yeah, they do that in Acton still. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a big deal.
Worst possible. Ugh.
It's very, very big deal here. Fifth graders.
In Acton it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
My parents signed me up for ballroom dancing.
The women's club run it, and all the kids love it. It's adorable because they all get dressed up in their suits.
The kids love it? Oh, my son would not like it.
Well, I don't know. Maybe. I mean, if all his friends were doing it, it would be...
Oh, they aren't. They won't.
Well, they are, but I know, but... Okay, anyways, go on.
Anyway, so we were taking ballroom dancing lessons. And as usual, the girls are all on one side and the boys are on the other. And there was this girl who was like... All the girls were lined up and there's this girl I knew, and I can't remember who it was exactly, but she was leaning against the wall. Like... Sort of with her elbows against the wall, but with her back against the wall and her feet out in front of her a little bit. And I remember thinking, I mean, I'm a kid, dumb kid, right? I was probably the same thing, like fifth grade. Like, wouldn't it be kind of funny if I just kind of, you know, kicked her leg a little bit?
Oh, boy.
Didn't even hit it that hard, right? I just kind of like
gave
her a little whack with my foot. They just slid right out, right?
Mm-hmm.
She went just crashing down. Her arms got all bent. She like smashed her head on there's like a bar. I'm like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
That went so horribly wrong.
And I bet as soon as you did it, you were like, right. What did I just do?
Mm-hmm.
I hope you were, at least. Otherwise, you're sociopath. Right.
Everyone's glaring at me. I'm like, man, I did not mean for that to happen. But like, what would you think was going to happen? I really don't know. I wasn't expecting that though, but. So people do dumb things, and you have to kind of remember them, use it for next time. Is he going to remember any of this? Probably not.
Yeah.
Tomorrow will be the same thing.
So while we're on the subject of dads being bad,
of,
our summer ended
ballroom dancing
on Sunday between the one party and the other party for Labor Day. My son and my daughter, we have the giant car, captain's chairs in the second row, and, you know, the bench seat in the back row. More room than anyone should ever need inside of a vehicle.
True.
For each kid. And, they fight every time they get in the car. Every time they get in the car, it's like, who is sitting in what seat? And we've tried rotating. And it's just like, then it becomes this big onerous process for mom and dad to maintain, or really mom. Just
take the seats away.
So anyways, they get in the car and my son grabs the middle seat. And so my one daughter who has the car seat still, like the big fold. The two that have the car seats don't fight because the car seats don't move. Mm-hmm. But the ones, other two, they always argue about it. Now, my son usually ends up in the third row, but he's always the first one to get in the car. So he always grabs a seat that's not his. So they always fight, right? And he gets in the second row seat. And I'm just like, Grace, just sit in the back this time because I just don't want to hear it. So she sits back there and she grabs a nickel that he has sitting there. Mm-hmm. And she takes the nickel and he's like, give me my nickel. And she's like, no, it's mine. I found it. It was just sitting here. It's not yours. And she's like, no, it's mine. You just left it here. He's like, give me my nickel. It's mine. I always sit there. That's why I left it there. Give me my nickel. And she's like, no, it's my nickel now. And so then he's like, whoa, what do I got here? So he finds some candies. And so he's like, I found this candy. Give me my nickel. I'm going to eat your candy. And she's like, no, it's my nickel. It was just sitting here. And so she's digging, doubling down, digging a trench about the stupid, ready to die on this nickel. And he starts eating the candy. I guess there were four Tootsie Rolls, right?
Yeah.
So she is now going ballistic about the stupid candy. Well, I figured he has one candy. She'd yield the nickel and it would just kind of work itself out. But no, she's ready. And so
it's like a hostage situation.
Yeah, yeah. So now
cut off a finger and mailed it back.
Yeah, he eats another candy. So I guess he eats four of these Tootsie Rolls. I thought he only had two, but four Tootsie Rolls. And she is now screaming bloody murder. And this was a 5-minute drive, like between two, like 7-minute drive. And I'm just like, I'm letting this work this out. I'm gonna let this work this out. And then I just lost it. And I was like, what are you doing? Like, and he had a bag of candy that was at a pinata. I get out of the car. I take the bag of candy. I chuck it down the street. I mean,
whoa, you littered?
So the funny part of this story is there was a couple of three kids that were sitting like across that saw me get out of the car and chuck the candy down. I knew one of the kids and they waited like maybe 2 minutes and then they went after the candy or went after the bag to see what it was. So I had to hop out of the car and be like, hey, can I have that stuff back? And be like, and then I told my son, I'm like, you go get it. But I got in the car and I lost my composure and I was like, you, what is wrong with you? I'm so disappointed in both of you. And she would not let go of the stupid nickel. I'm like, was the Tootsie Rolls worth it to you for a nickel? You know what I mean? Like, what is wrong? Why would you say, I completely snapped.
They have their, what do you call it? Not morals. They have their,
I don't know what you mean. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Scruples?
I don't know. But I was like, he's like, but it's my nickel. That's where I sit all the time. I'm like, you sitting there now? No. Well, if it was so important to you, why do you leave it in there? You know, to both of them, why are you leaving this candy? Because they're always leaving their junk around. And I'm like, if this was so important to you, why wouldn't you not take care of it? But yeah, I definitely.
Well, and then the flip side too. Like, why are you? You know, it's not your nickel. You know, it's his nickel. You know, that's his candy. Why are you being jerks for no reason?
Like, right? It's your sister.
Just be like, hey, I found your nickel. Do you want it back? Right? That'd be a good start.
Yeah. So then I had to be like, okay, daddy lost his composure and maybe he said a lot of things he shouldn't have said.
Sometimes daddy yells.
May have used a word. Yeah, that's may have used a word or two he shouldn't have used. And
he used a lot of those words.
And I'm just like,
do it all the time.
Yeah, I didn't, I don't. And
you know what though? You know where that doesn't happen?
Oh, I don't know where I'm just going
to. Cargo bikes.
Oh, what do you mean? They don't fight on a cargo bike?
Nah, they never fight on the cargo bike.
Weird.
Even when they're jam-packed right against each other, they always, like, they're reading a book together. It's really weird. When they're actually, like, snuggled in tight on the back of the cargo bike, they never fight. Of course, now they're riding their own bikes, and it's more of a racing situation. It's like, guys, you can't race. Someone's going to crash. So that's a different situation, but, pretty pleasant when they're riding. No fighting.
That's good. That's amazing.
Well, they're busy. They gotta do all this work, you know?
Why does it work?
They're pedaling.
On the cargo bike?
Well, no, when they're riding their own bikes.
Oh, well.
So when we're riding as a group. Yeah, on the cargo bike on the back, they're not doing any work, but maybe it's just because they're jam-packed together. So that's the key. Maybe you need just a hatchback or something.
Speaking of jam-packed, good segue. So we went to a drive-in movie on Saturday night, which...
Could anyone see over your car?
That's a funny thing to say because of what a couple of things that happened while we were there. But so we have a giant SUV for those who are first-time listeners. And if you are a first-time listener, how did you find us? so we... have a giant SUV, a Lincoln Navigator, which is the same as like a Ford Expedition or a Yukon extended length, blah, blah, blah.
Glacier.
And, oh, the giant vehicles have to park in the orange or pink poles. So
oh, really?
Basically you have to park at the back. Yeah. And we went to see Goonies, which yep. we'll talk about in a second. And which is PG, 1984, I think I was.
I think it's PG from that year, and they were a little less helicopter-y then.
Well, things were different, yeah. It was a different era. Where was I with this? Okay. So we had to park towards the back, which was fine. And, you know, we looked into this a little bit. We were going to go 2 weekends ago, and the movie weren't great. But last weekend, it was Labor Day weekend, and it was like retro movie, fun, bring the family. So that movie started at 8 o'clock. The Sandlot started at 10:15. I'm like, who's bringing their kids to a movie at 10:15? Well, it was a double feature. You got to see both. So and then the drive-in movie theaters aren't that prevalent anymore. But we move it. We pull in, and we had picked up my kids from a couple nights at the grandparents. So they had all their bags and we had just gone ski shopping. And so we had all that gear. So we pull in and the idea was we're going to put all the seats down, put blankets out, just kind of hang out, get something to eat.
Back in? You're going to back in?
Well, yeah. Well, yeah. And this was pretty common. Like almost all the trucks backed in. Where was it? Oh, so yeah, we had to unpack the car, all their stuff. We bought a couple sets of skis, the ski thing. And so we had our gear everywhere and then we laid out the sleeping bags and the pillows. And the fact that the kids had to touch, they were melting down over. I can't, his leg is touching my, I couldn't believe it. I'm like, you guys, you each have your own sleeping bag. It's like 95 degrees out. They want to be in the sleeping bags. I'm like, are you gotta be kidding me? I'm melting. It was like, and then of course they're screaming. I'm like, oh, this is why. And then I'm like, this is why I don't do anything with the, this every time we try and do something nice. And then they complain. And it was so, so then we watched Goonies and we ended up like, mommy and I were like, kind of like wedged in the car sideways with like poles sticking into us and stuff. And just like seat backs and trying to be comfortable. And, you know, what's interesting now, they played on, there's an FM transmitter somewhere in the place. So they put it over the car radios now.
Yeah. Isn't that what they always did?
No, I thought they always had those like speakers that you put on the mirrors, like on the windows.
The olden days, yeah, I used to hang those.
I guess I haven't gone in 25, 30 years.
They switched to the FM thing a long time ago.
Oh, did they?
Was it 88.9, something like that?
98.1, I think. Yeah, I think. But that was screen two. Screen one might have been 88.9, but yeah, it was real low on the dial. And then, so Goonies. Let's talk about Goonies for a second. A lot of S-bombs in Goonies. And a lot of skeletons.
A lot of skeletons. Like, a lot of really, weird stuff. Like, they try to kill the kid. I mean,
they're trying to kill them. And the other thing, which is, like, ridiculous, is these kids left in the evening. They were in this dungeon or this tunnel system overnight.
Yeah.
And they come out at, like, basically sunrise. I'm like, wait a second. You know, this is... We go to such scrutiny now. We watch these Star Wars movies and we're like, no way, this storyline doesn't match up with this. And how can this character ever do this? And holy smokes, we're so, I don't know, we lose the whole like forest for the trees thing, right? We don't enjoy the content as it presented to us anymore because we're so worried about the minutiae. Where this movie had so many flaws. Like these kids are 9 years old and they're up all night.
What's wrong with that? No, that's what we used to do. You kidding?
What?
I could leave the house and be like, I'm sleeping over at my friend's house. Bye. Well, and they would just,
but these kids
wouldn't know where I went.
Well, these kids
we'd be out all night. They'd do the opposite. They'd tell their parents they were going out and I'd tell my parents.
These kids were all lost because they were like, the parents were all like, you're okay and stuff. And,
oh, okay. True.
And like all the like, gadgets that, like I just said, all the like, ugh, what's wrong with me? Like,
the gadget dude wasn't his name, Gadget.
Data, yeah. But all his gadgets were ridiculous. Like, there's no way this little, like, fake denture thing was gonna grab onto this stalactite. But it does, and we all enjoyed it for it. But it was,
but it does.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Yeah. And, what was the other thing that was funny about Data? Oh, so, like 80% through the movie, maybe even 85, he falls yet again through some, when they get to the pirate ship, right, he falls through the top deck.
Yeah, they fell a lot.
Yeah, well, he does. And I didn't even pick up on it. But my one of my kids was like, man, he keeps falling. And then he turns around and he says, the character in the movie, one of my kids said, wow, he falls through everything. He's like, I'm so tired of falling. I'm tired of skeletons and I'm tired of falling. It was hilarious like that. My kid had picked up on it. And it was so funny.
It's a good movie. I don't think I could watch it with my kids.
My daughter was terrified the whole time. Helen, my emotional kid.
Third.
My kid with emotions.
The bipolar.
My non-sociopath kid. My son fell asleep instantly. Which was
bored. It was boring.
He's like, he had seen it before, but my, you know, so my 7-year-old was like, oh, I'm scared, daddy. I'm scared, daddy. I'm scared, daddy. The whole time. Or mommy, I'm scared. I was like, okay, you're going to be all right. It's just a movie. The kids are going to be fine. And, that is funny. I mean, it was funny. It was just funny. It was a good experience, sort of. Movies. What we would do differently. Bring food.
Well, yeah, bring food.
Don't buy food. I bought we threw away half the food. It was like Phantom Gourmet and all that was there. Like they are all over the place. Not there. The people, the brothers weren't there, but they were like, yeah, the food here is excellent. And I'm like, this food is not that good. Not Phantom Gourmet good.
I think they pay them to say those things.
And it was a fortune for food, which we threw half of it away. Like meat, like a full half just chucked in the garbage. Terrible. Yeah. So that was Labor Day.
And that was your Labor Day Saturday.
Summer, we jammed it all in.
End of summer. We ended a summer on a interesting note. We're me and another dad biked over to the lake yesterday. And it's like, we got to get one last lake day. And it was so hot.
Mm-hmm.
We got to go. My son didn't want to go with us. He wanted to sit home and read his book. So whatever, read your book, nerd.
Really? He didn't come?
No.
You didn't be like sitting on the beach and reading a book as like
no.
the well, epitome of summer?
He's like, it's too hot. Not going outside again. He already had soccer practice and fine, whatever. Stick Molly. And she rode all the way over there. She took off, you know, rode away from us. And she's probably trying to impress her friend. And this other dad rode with his two kids. And we, we swam for a few hours. And right as we were leaving, everyone's leaving the beach. I brought some beers with me. The lifeguards weren't there. So I was worried they had like the beach closed. It was end of summer. We get there and it was just like, it reminded me of, like the Caddyshack pool. Cause there was just, it was just chaos, right?
Oh yeah.
And cause nobody was there. Like the beach was still open. The docks were still there. Everything was out in the water, but there were no lifeguards and there were no attendants checking IDs or,
there's no lifeguards on the last day. Like no holiday. That's a little funny to me.
I think they went back to college basically, you know,
they just couldn't get
it. So they keep the beach open. But they just don't have lifeguards. And they don't have anybody checking the membership. So just everyone shows up. So it's cool. So we're just, you know, drinking out in the open and whatnot. And we're going to leave. Everyone's leaving at like the same time because they're all trying to get their kids to bed for school. And we're leaving the water. And this one, the little boy we came with, he doesn't really like the water so much. He doesn't go under that often. He's a little tentative, younger kid. And he's on his way out and his dad like drops him and he goes all the way under.
Oh no.
Right. So his face goes under and all this stuff and he just inhales a bunch of water.
Oh
right?
No.
So he gets out of the water. He's on his way out and he just barfs all over the beach. Just like he's just throwing up everywhere. Man. And then he like claps a hand over his mouth and it's just spraying out the sides.
Was it like just the water or was it?
Oh God, I hope so. I don't know. That's I'm like funny. Running away going, oh, I don't need that on me. Not this week or ever. It was like, yeah, we're both laughing, but I'm like, good end of summer. Yeah, good.
Yeah. Well, so another funny thing about the end of summer is my son was like, you know, we talked about the mountain biking thing in the spring and I was like, yeah, we'll go mountain biking. He's like, can we go to the pump track? You know, this is May. And I'm like, yeah, June. Yeah, we'll get to the pump track. Well, he's like, can we go to the pump track tomorrow? Because you promised me that we're going to go to the pump track. And
you promised.
And sure enough, we made it to the pump track on the last day of summer. And which was, we did it. We did it. I'm like, yeah,
it's
we
made it. It's tough to fit it all in. You can't fit it all in.
It is. It's so hard. I mean, we did a ton this summer. But I did feel a little bit bad that we had put it off that much. And we had fun there. Yeah. So the kids really had fun. They're getting braver and braver. And my 9-year old Grace, she is the kid. I'm telling you, she's just like, I'm going to have my birthday party here. I'm like, Grace, would any
we
of
had
your
a birthday party there?
Did you really?
Yeah. Didn't I tell you?
You brought a cake and all that?
We brought everything. Yeah. We had tables and cake and all that stuff.
Oh.
We did it in the little area, not on the track, but just below it, where the grassy area is.
That's hilarious.
We had Max's birthday there. Pump track party.
Good for you guys. Well, I said, Grace, would any of your friends like this?
Right.
And she's like, no. I'm like, well, maybe Elizabeth might, but I don't think anybody else would enjoy. She's like, yeah, you're right.
That was the hardest part, was inviting kids. Yeah. It's like, yeah, they did pretty well, but some of them were completely out of control.
My son was like going down his list, and he's like, yeah, I think so-and-so and so-and-so would, but so, like, it's funny how, like, not everybody's cut out for that stuff. They like it, those two, but,
No, I know. It's a little sad sometimes, and as you know, right, as you get back into this, right? Yeah. It's like, let's go biking. Let's go here. And they're like, oh, can I invite my friend? I'm like, I guess we'll see. Yeah. Okay. Let's invite him. And they just, their bike's broken. Their legs don't work. They can't ride in a straight line. It's just like, oh my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. On the other hand, my daughter's trying to do the double there, and she's just like, every time she goes over it a little bigger, and my son's starting to do it, she's falling off the bike, and there's a couple guys there, you know, a couple guys there that are like, they're on BMX bikes,
mm-hmm.
and they're like on these retro bikes, and they're loving it, and they're like, yeah, this, you know, I'm a little bit into the scene still, and they're like, oh, this group from Boston comes out here every Sunday morning and stuff. I'm like, all right, and they're getting a kick out of her trying this and crashing right. almost all the time, and then I wiped out, and they got a kick out of that, and I come back all bloody. And they're like, oh, man. It was funny. I crashed, and like three of them just come tearing out after me. You all right, man? You all right? I'm like, yeah, I'm all right. I just kind of washed out, and I'm all right.
Fine.
Yeah.
Oh, blood everywhere. Yeah.
And then I got back up there, and they're like, whoa, he's going again. And I'm like, what? Why wouldn't I go again? I mean, I fell on my butt. Like, what is the point of this? Like, you guys never fall? So.
No, they probably don't. They're very –
Yeah.
A lot of those folks are very cautious. You know, they work their way up.
I guess.
Really slowly.
Well,
really.
So was
they
I.
They put pads on and they do the stuff. And
but you still crash. I mean, eventually you have to push it a little bit. And
I don't know. One of the guys I ride with sometimes, he, you know, he's like, oh, let's go mountain biking. Let's go out. I'm like, are you sure, dude? Are you actually going to ride? I'm like, all right, fine. Because he's just got all the stuff.
Yeah.
He's got like all the things, you know, the kit and the stuff. And we go out at night. I go ride with him at night a lot.
Oh, really?
And well, because it's one of the only times I have time.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's true.
The last time we went, he would stop like every 5 minutes, and he's like, how do you think about my light pointing here?
Oh, or no.
I'm thinking about getting another one. I'm going to put it. I'm like, why are we stopped? What are you doing? Oh, I'm just adjusting my headlamp. I think it was reflecting too much off the ground and then blinding me. And I like this lamp. I'm going to lower a little bit. I'm like, you're still talking. I'm like, what is I'm getting eaten by mosquitoes. Yeah. Why are we standing
oh,
here?
Yeah.
He'd go 5 minutes and he'd stop again and start adjusting something else. My goodness, dude.
Yeah, I took – well, my son, like last weekend, I said I'd take them mountain biking just in the trails by my house, and we'd go in the woods, and instantaneously the mosquitoes were all over us super bad. And mm-hmm. This was 2 weekends ago. And it was like after all that rain and stuff we got, the mosquitoes were awful. And we had took my neighbor, and he was not ready for it. And he was like, oh, my gosh, the mosquitoes. And he wouldn't shift his gears. He didn't know how to use them. It turns out his mm-hmm. gears didn't work. As I was like, no, because like you kind of go in the woods and then straight up, it's like uphill already, but it's not that steep, but he couldn't because he was. And so I'm like, no, you have to shift. And he wouldn't do it. So I'm like, all right, listen. And I tried to shift him, and I'm like, I got 3/4 of the way down the chain ring before it locked out. And I'm like, oh, okay, we got to fix this. But yeah, then he could actually pedal up the hill, but and then he just kept stopping. And he's like, the mosquitoes are so bad. I'm like, well, don't stop. Like, you're killing me.
Right,
these mosquitoes are killing me every time you stop. And my son took off on us. And I was like, what are you doing? And then, yeah, but we got out mm-hmm. of there because I was like, this is not fun. This is not good. And we should not have taken him in there. He's like, yeah, I didn't think about, that wasn't good. I was like, yeah, good. At least he realized.
Like, that's it for me. I'm never doing that again. It's like, great.
Yeah, I know, which was, well, you got to break a few eggs if you're going to make some omelets, right?
So while we were swimming, though, this was sort of anecdotal. I, you've seen the video of me flipping Molly where I hold her like big loaf of bread and she tucks up in a ball.
Yeah.
And then it's like, so she's sort of facing the sky, but she's hugging her knees to her chest. And then I flip her, throw her up high, and I flip her butt over.
Yeah.
And then she does like kind of a 3/4 flip. Well, we were doing that off the dock since the lifeguards weren't there.
Oh, really?
So she's... I could have done the double, but she would have hurt herself real bad if we didn't, you know, hit it.
Yeah.
Because I tried a double in flat water, level water, and she almost made it around. So we were just doing the 3/4 flip, and I was just chucking her, like, super far and super high. So she's easily, like, 8 or 10 feet off the water, right? Because the dock is a little bit high, and then I'm 6 feet, and I'm extending my arms all the way up and letting her go. So she's probably maybe eight or nine feet off the water, right? And everyone's laughing because she's coming down. She didn't land crooked, which was good. And then the part that I was excited about was we're swimming around in the water, and then they turn around, and there's this mom that I was talking to who's just picking up her kids. They were wearing life jackets. She's just grabbing them by the life jacket and just flinging them off the dock the same way. Like, I like this because she's totally just letting them go and with no regard for their sort of direction of spin. So they're coming down like sideways on their ear, you know, just they're not even wanted on their feet. They're just slapping it every which way and they just keep coming back for more and she just keeps chucking them off the dock. So I was happy, but it was just funny to watch. I was like, I like, you know, I like your style. It's good stuff. No regard for the child's safety whatsoever. It's very therapeutic to hurl your children at.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and there's only like minor possibly.
I hurt Molly a couple of times. When she came down, when I tried the double flip.
Mm-hmm.
She came down, one, two. She came down, like, right on her neck, I think. I don't know. She came down hard on her back.
Yeah.
And just smacked her neck on the water, like, in her back. And yeah. She cried for a minute or so about that. I'm like, hey, come on. So you're making, it's really loud. Everyone can hear you. You want to go again? Yeah. It's just like, okay, I'll go again. You know, that hurts. Pick me up. Do it again. Like, okay. It's weird. Mixed signals.
Yeah.
But, and you'll be proud. This is interesting, right? So I ran at soccer practice the other day. We were wrapping it up. Parents were hanging out and talking. It was actually after our, it doesn't matter. And a bunch of the parents of slightly younger kids, like fourth graders, they were all telling these stories about, because one of the parents brought up the story because his kid said something about boners, right? And he's telling the typical parent story where he's like, oh man, you know, I did this thing and I kind of shuffled it around and I redirected him and then I sent him off and I was like, whew, you know, dodged a bullet with that one, right? And then all the other parents are telling the similar stories. We're like, oh yeah, my kid said this the other day, like talking about a frachina. And I said all these things and turned him around and I was like, you know, got out of the room as fast as I could. And I'm like, they all, like, four or five of them all told these stories. And I just gave them this look. I'm like, I am so disappointed in all of you. Like, I was a little bit nicer with the delivery, right?
Okay.
I said, you know, guys, like, listen, when are you going to get this opportunity again, right? You know, they get into the health class, like, grade five, grade six.
You mean
like,
specifically about the sex ed?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, they came to you with questions.
Oh.
You could have told them the truth, and you danced around it and ran away, and now someone else is going to tell them, or you're going to have to approach them with no, what do you call it? With no, like, seed, like,
with no
you're going to have to go to them.
Yeah, they gave you the line. They gave you the lead in, right?
Now they gave you the lead in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
Now you're like, so I want to talk to you about the super awkward thing, which you have no context about. Like, we were just talking about, you know, football. Now we're going to talk about, you know, your right. body.
That's right. Hey, listen, when you're done in the shower.
Yeah. You know, you wake up and you kind of feel funny. You know, I hear you. You know what?
They said, well, the good part was they agreed with me. They're like, oh man, I think you're right. Like, I'm like, yeah, dude, like, don't let it go next time. Like next time they, and you, in fact, if you can slip something in to kind of you know, read one of those health books, but don't bring it up and be like, let's talk about the human body and read through the book and just kind of be like, da, 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 da. And when they start asking you questions about all those parts, tell them the truth.
You know, this is rule one as a parent. Tell your kids the truth. I don't understand this. I was talking to somebody this week and they were like, yeah, my 1 year old, you know, we just tell her the TV's broken because she loves that show Coco. And just like, I'm like, wait, what? She's like, I lie to her and tell her the TV's broken. After one episode, the TV breaks. I was like, whoa, 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 whoa.
You full disclosure, I used to do that, if you remember.
Oh, really? I don't know. I can't, come on. Like, your 1 year old? You just, like, you can't have the, you don't feel like you have the authority to tell your 1 year old no? Then you're.
Well, when they were that little, too. Didn't I tell you this at an early, early episode? I used to tell my son that outside was broken.
What? I think I vaguely remember this.
He wanted to go outside. He's like, I want to go outside.
Oh, I remember you were telling the candy was dad food. It was only for that.
That too, yeah.
Yeah, that I remember.
He fell for that too.
Oh, it's not a fall for. You fell for it. You didn't trick him.
Well, that was the way he conceptualized it, right? So if I told him outside was broken.
Yeah. You want to justify this. Come on.
Yeah. Well, because he's just, if I just said, no, you cannot go outside, it's bedtime, right?
Yeah.
He didn't want to go along with that. It's not. I guess it was a lie, but it's not like, why is the sky blue? Because it's Smurf turds. Like, what?
Well, the TV's broken. Give me a break. I'm just like, come on, no. Just, I think when you start abandoning your own authority on these things, then it just leads for, you know, and your kid's going to eventually find out, wait, you were lying to me about the TV? Does that mean you're lying to me about Santa Claus? You're lying to me about everything. Is there anything you tell me the truth about? I don't have to go to school because you're lying to me about that. I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, they do think that a lot, actually.
Yeah, well, see, I don't lie to my kids, so don't have that
problem. It's Rayleigh scattering, in case you're wondering.
It's what?
Rayleigh scattering.
What's Rayleigh scattering?
It's why the sky is blue.
Fine, whatever. You and your physics.
I think it's R-E-Y-L-E-I-G-H. I don't know how you spell his name. It's a weird name.
Oh, some dude invented it? Everything
in physics is named after the person who discovered it. Rayleigh scattering.
Hi.
See, I got more homework. Catch them, tell them the truth. Just, you know, it doesn't matter. Just do it in total nonchalant. Mm-hmm. Yep, that goes there. Goes here. Right.
Well, you know, I agree with the, you know, we'll talk about, you know, giving them age-appropriate answers. I mean, you don't want to.
What's appropriate? See, that's where you start making. Why is it age-appropriate?
Well, when a one-year-old, 1.5-year-old comes over and says, where do babies come from? You don't got to be like, well, when daddy and mommy get excited.
I think that's exactly when you do it.
But they're not going to understand. They don't understand the difference between a four China and a.
Yeah, they do. They do. Be like, look, peanuts. You have this part and they have this part and she makes eggs. Well, not makes eggs. She's got a fixed number
then
of
you
eggs.
Then you have the 1.5-year-old going to preschool and telling them that your mother lays, their mother lays eggs because they.
That's hilarious.
Oh, that's right.
It's funny because I was actually thinking about this today, like how to. Because I think I was biking home. I was thinking about this stuff. From the soccer, I'm like, do we talk about it? Like, mothers lay, they do kind of lay eggs.
Oh boy. this is an angle I would not take your children down.
Oh. But it's weird because then you start talking about eating eggs from chickens, and it's like, wait, are those the same? Well, kind of.
Well, see, that's the problem. That's why I mean age appropriate because they don't have the discernment to understand, like, these eggs and these eggs are the same eggs.
They absolutely do. That's the thing.
Well, maybe they do. Maybe
if you tell them, they totally understand. And in fact, they don't get weird about it because they're just going, they're just trying to understand. They're like, okay, so mommy has eggs. Mm-hmm. Yep. The eggs can make babies. Okay. Yep. Got it.
Yeah, I know.
You don't have to get into all like the passion stuff. And
my 9-year-old daughter, I got to have that conversation. We got to have McDonald's soon.
McDonald's. That's where you have the talk.
Remember, I had the talk with the McDonald's last time.
That's right.
I had like a 15-minute window, which I had more time, but quickly compressed into a 15-minute window.
You definitely. I mean, what grade is she in?
Why are you telling me this, Dad? Fourth.
Yeah, now is exactly the time. Third and fourth grade, I think, is perfect.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to say any time is perfect. What I'm going to say is when they start asking, it's perfect.
No, because right? even then, because that's what all these other parents think. They're like, when they ask me again, I'll tell them.
No, that's exactly what they said. I said when they ask, you start.
They do.
Yeah, when they start getting curious about it, then you start giving them age appropriate answers. I think all along.
You're telling me she never answered. She never asked anything.
No, that's what I mean. She's starting to ask the questions. Like, wait a second, that doesn't make sense. How does so? Because we went away for our anniversary at the beginning of August, right overnight, and we come back and
baby Grace, number five.
No, Grace was like, so when you guys were away, did you like kiss for 10 minutes?
Like, no.
Like, boring. No, it was like 4.5. 10 minutes, that's egregious, don't you think? We'd kiss for 10 minutes if we could have more than, 10 minutes a month, but
right.
Anyway.
You guys screaming at us. Yeah. You all of you ruined this marriage.
No, it's but she's starting to pick up on, that stuff. And the boys are. Oh, you want to hear something we'll segue back to soccer a little bit on this?
You're sitting back again.
I'm sitting a little bit back, but one of the girls on my soccer team's mom posted on the Facebook group, like the Acton Parents Facebook group, just a general book. Like, does anyone have any books they recommend for developing girls and taking them and like describing about people? I'm like, oh no. If she's asked.
Go ahead.
But I'm like, wait a second. This is one of the 11. She's 11 years old. She's like 7 months older or 9 months older than Grace. So same soccer team because of calendar year, because of school year. But anyways, I'm like, oh crap. That's right. If she's 11, that means these things are going to start happening. I need to stop coaching. I'm not ready to coach teenagers and having
no teenage girls. You're going to have to like carry stuff with you.
Right. Like an emergency situation.
emergency, but for those girls.
I'm not ready for that sort of.
Ice packs, pennies, tampons.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Well, it's going to be. But, and the emotions, right? Oh, I understand why you're yelling at me because you're not familiar with these
emotions. Keep a little
calendar
in there.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. But
right on the roster, just put a little bit.
I was like, when she posted that, I was like, oh no, right? Like, this is a thing that's going to start happening. And of course, right? It makes sense. That's how.
I feel like I could have the talk with my daughter more than my son.
Really? You've had the talk with your son, though.
I have, but I feel like it's easier to have the talk with her because I feel like their role is much more interesting.
What?
Right? And they're also sort of like the gatekeeper. Like, the dude's role is kind of like, I got this. Can I?
I'm going to put the message is expressed by my partner on the podcast and not necessarily represent me.
Well, the woman, like I said, the woman's role is cooler.
The man should also be the boy. Should also be as much a gatekeeper in this as the woman.
Well, they should be. Yes, they should be equal partners in decision making. Yeah. But anatomy wise, they have cooler parts because they've got more stuff. The eggs and the baby container and the baby delivery canal.
Yeah. Jeez. All right. They do
and the
have
milks.
Those parts and the milks. Yes. Okay. I'm aware of
all kinds of stuff.
I'm familiar with the parts.
milk.
I am familiar with the sizes. Yes, that's a George Costanza from Seinfeld. I do know. I base my whole life knowing on that sizes. When he goes to work, when his dad's trying to get him a job selling bras,
that's right? Brassiers.
I base my life knowing that, Dad. All right. So yeah, puberty for girls. Fine. I understand what you're saying, but I can't relate to those things.
Which things?
Like, I can relate to my son's parts. I can't relate to my daughter's parts.
Oh, no. Why? You can. You can totally relate.
No. I will never for a second say that again. The messages.
I mean, you've experienced it enough.
I've not experienced it enough. I never could.
Personally, you've been around it enough.
That was a joke.
You're familiar with the anatomy.
I'm not familiar enough. I need more practice. Yes, but I don't know the feelings and all that other stuff, right? Like, from that?
Like, no, but I don't think anybody really does.
Are you saying they don't?
Even women are different, right? So,
yeah.
They can empathize, but they're like, this is me. I feel this way. They're like, me too. When they're really just saying that to be supportive.
You don't think they, I don't know what you're.
Well, they can't possibly feel exactly the same.
Oh, of course not. But I don't really know where this is. You're making me uncomfortable.
This is part of it. I mean, this is part of discussing. It's like, it can't be a 30-second conversation. This is how you do it. Boom, boom, bang. There you go. Baby's on the way. Don't forget to get married. That comes first. Married. Don't forget.
Whoa. Yeah. I don't know.
Always wear a hat.
But, I'm still thinking aback here. Like, I can't understand your comment here. It's
about what?
You feel like it's easier to talk to your daughter about it because they have more interesting
just for parts? Me. I don't mean in general, just because it's I think I would be more interested in explaining it to her. But explaining it to my son, which I can do, of course, I still have to explain all of. I have to explain both parts to either person, of course. But there's much more. Hers are much more complex.
I can see what you're saying. Like, when you're trying to explain to your son about how all the things work on the woman, it's like a lot of like abstracts. But when you're talking about the girl, you're like, this is what they want. They want it always. And it's as simple as that. Like, it's a much easier conversation from that regard.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You mean when you're talking to women. Like, yeah, yeah. This is, right.
How do guys work? Well, they're thinking about it 3 million times a second, and it's pretty much always on their mind.
Exactly.
Yeah. So wear high necklines.
And explain it the same way to, right.
Cover your ankles.
Right. Don't blame me for what I wear. It's like, well, I don't.
It's not. Yeah.
They're idiots.
You can wear what you want. And I get that. That's your right, but
just understand that they're morons.
Yeah. I know, and we shouldn't laugh. Like, that part's not funny, but it's a little bit funny.
Well, it's not funny when it goes too far.
Right. They can be morons
as long as they keep it to themselves, right?
Well, yeah, I guess.
I mean, what's the difference? I've struggled with this a lot. Like, what's the difference between I don't know if you're not supposed to, like, what's wrong? Because if everything is wrong, then there's never going to be any babies anymore, right? So you can't. Is it not okay for the dudes to be like, "Wow," you know, right, in their own head?
Yeah.
Is that not okay?
Well,
is it just not okay that they make somebody else feel uncomfortable? Well, the second one I agree with.
Yeah. So the first one is, there's a lot of people I think that think that. Like, that's not okay. And I think those people aren't practical. Like, there are just some biological functions, and there are some innate, instincts, right?
Mm-hmm.
People are attracted to certain things, and that's what attraction is. That looks. I'm attracted to that.
Well, but this is a skill to teach your children as well, to be subtle.
Well,
right? Listen, you're going to freak people out. If you're just, you know, staring up and down for minutes on end, right? You got to be like, side of the eye, side of the eye.
You never look right at it. It's like the sun.
Exactly. That is good advice.
That's another Seinfeld thing.
Maybe that's right. They can probably still tell. He's giving me the side eye. I can tell.
Yeah.
He's checking me out with his peripherals. But that might be flattering. I don't know.
Well, it's all context. I think a lot of it's context. I shouldn't say it's all context, but I think a lot of it's context. I think there's endless double standards and triple standards here. Like,
mm-hmm. But part of this conversation, so after you get through all that discussion about the sex stuff, then you got to get into the, well, even before, right? In conjunction with, you got to get into the consent talk.
Oh, yeah.
As well.
That goes so early.
Because you're going to see, and you talk about, we definitely talk about it with your sons and talk about it with your daughters. You're going to see a girl someday that you really like. You're going to be all goofy with her, and you're going to kick her legs out from underneath her in ballroom dancing class. You're going to think that's great, and she's going to love you for it, but that's not going to be the way it goes.
Yeah. Right. And the girls are going to be like, because that kid is picking on you because he likes you. He doesn't really realize that he likes you or why he's picking on you because he's a moron. But they're all morons, and they do things they don't really understand. I mean, we already had this with my daughter.
Let's try not to be morons. I think we can explain it. Like, let's just recognize that you're starting to be a moron.
Yeah.
And cut it out.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not, no one's enjoying that.
Yeah, I mean, my daughter, when she was in second grade, was getting all this unwanted attention from this knucklehead on the bus. And I think it was because he liked her, but not really understanding what was, you know, these things were. But it was the same kid all the time, like, on the bus and stuff, and, like, bothering her. And she's just like, and I'm like, well, this is what, I was like, you need to be assertive and be protective of yourself and be like, I don't like what you're doing, Jimmy. It's not, like, you need to go back to, you know, you kind of stand up for yourself, not.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what he was doing was 100% wrong, and I'm not trying to, like,
it's both sides, right?
Victim, yeah. Somebody victim needs to shame
explain to him that he
yeah.
should not be doing it, and you can explain to her, like, right. this is what you need to tell him to get him to stand down.
Right. I'm not trying to, you know, put the wrong, accept the wrong behavior, but more, like, teach my daughter how to handle the, and my son, too, like, went, don't do that, I think.
Right. So. Well, and you get in these situations, and it's a real tough, like, because women have a disadvantage physically.
Mm-hmm.
And it always goes to these extremes, but I don't think it has to go to these extremes in your head, right? Everyone talks about, whenever everyone thinks, oh, if I swim in the ocean, I'm going to get eaten by a shark, right? That's not, no, let's pull it back a little.
We talked about that last week. You're more likely to get killed by a coconut.
Exactly. Right? So women certainly get, let's see, how should I put this? What's the right word? What's the right phrasing? They don't have a great advantage, and they're mistreated, we'll say. The words are failing me, by men, in general.
Yeah.
Broadly speaking. But does it go to an extreme where they're, you know, attacked on a daily basis? I think it's less. I think a lot of situations, I'm going to get myself in trouble with this, could be helped. Obviously, first and foremost, teach your men to do better, but could be helped by teaching your daughters to also handle it in a particular way, right? And they already know these secrets. I don't know these secrets. So this is something to ask your wives about, right? Your other women, you know, to be like, what do you do when there's these guys being creepy, right? That you just, they're persistent. How do you handle it? And we know, we have some input from people we know that are like, you know, I just constantly avoid them. That doesn't necessarily work because then they just keep trying, right? They just keep coming back for more. So it's weird. I think I'm going to have to do some research on this.
Yeah, I know. And I try to be – here's a situation that I'm always uncomfortable with is when I am running, jogging, and I come up behind somebody, a woman. Mm-hmm. I come up behind a woman or even really a man, but a woman. I always try to give like an extra wide space.
Extra wide, yeah, because they always freak out.
Well, whenever you're running up on anybody, it's a little freaky, but especially when it's like a woman, like, and if they have headphones on and you're like, it's, you know, a weird time of day or night, it's like, I don't want to spook this person. And I would, if I were them, I would probably be spooked. So, or just like, want to be sure that, so I always try to give extra wide space. So, I don't.
Just extra wide space is your.
Well, or I'll call out to them, hey, on your right, or, you know, coming up behind, you know, but I don't know what the right thing to do is, right? So it's.
They never hear you with headphones on. It drives me crazy.
Well, the headphone thing can be a bit of a problem, but.
I've been like riding behind people going on your left, like right behind you, like screaming at them. They don't turn around.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Dinging my bell. Ding, 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 ding. Doesn't change. Anyway.
Yeah.
So I think I need to dig into it a little bit, look for some techniques. But I certainly, my opinion is, my inexperienced opinion, is that there's a lot I could teach my daughter to be more assertive with. I think laying back and doing the whole ghosting, fading thing is certainly a technique that is employed.
Yeah.
You got to kind of read the situation and read the other person and be like, what would work best? Should I be upfront and just say, look, this isn't going to work. Not interested. You know, you need to shut it down.
Yeah. Right? Well, that's the thing. I like the more assertive, like, you need to take control of this.
Right. I think in most cases that would actually work.
Yeah.
They'd be like, they kind of snap to their senses and be like, oh, okay. I mean, I'm kind of sad now, but I understand.
I just think sometimes as they're younger, they are, they don't know the boundaries and how these things work.
No, they don't.
So, and then also impulse control is terrible. That's why they're kicking mm-hmm. people's legs out.
Kicking people's legs out from under them. I'm not even sure I liked the girl in particular. Just, I was like, hey, look, a pair of legs. Boom.
Yeah. But also, you know, I know I'm not getting all this right, and I think there's a lot of let's put it this way. I don't think I'm very woke, I think is the term.
Sure, yeah.
I also don't think I definitely necessarily want to be very woke, because I think a lot of the policies or the way that people act now is not always right. But they act very like, oh, I'm woke, so I do it this way because that's the way it wants to be done. But,
yeah, I see what you mean. I understand
that. Yeah. But then...
Right, because they've decided that's what it means.
Right.
You're like, well, I'm not sure you've thought this through enough. And you, that's really what it means is...
Yeah.
You put a lot of thought into it, I think, is the key.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot of like overcorrection stuff that isn't necessarily necessary. But
so it's nuanced.
Yeah.
You got to read into each situation. But in the end of the day... women need their protections because they're at this disadvantage, and that's the sad part.
Yeah, but even right. saying that, I think if you put that on that three sentences under that one sentence on Twitter, you would get chewed up.
No, whether they're at a physical disadvantage,
just whatever you just said was like, women need protection because they're at the disadvantage.
Well, I didn't mean by someone else. Women need.
Oh, what, you didn't say protection. What did you say?
Mechanism.
Yeah.
What did I say? They need to...
I don't know. But the fact that you said women are weaker, but that would blow your Twitter up. No more.
Well, for those one-off scenarios, right? It's kind of like you wear a seatbelt when you drive just in case you crash. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's the same thing. They do these things to protect themselves. Just in case that one person is nuts. You know what I mean?
Yep. No.
Whereas dudes will date crazy girls on purpose because they're weird. And they're not worried about getting, into big trouble.
Well, it's always like the difference, right? The outside the norm sort of, again,
I think there was come back to Seinfeld. Videos. It was one of those funny YouTube videos where women were like, catcalling men on the street. It was pretty funny. And we had that discussion with a mutual acquaintance. Because there were some construction workers near the office.
Oh, yeah. Remember? That was a long time.
And they were doing this. They were like catcalling the women on the way into the office, which is kind of, it's a little weird.
That's
right?
Definitely weird, yeah.
And some of the women are all like, they're awful. I'm going to go in the other entrance, right?
Yep.
And I'm like, yeah, I get it. That'd be kind of annoying. I don't want people yelling stuff at me, right? It'd just be weird. Anybody. And weird corollary, I know it's not related, but people yell stuff at me all the time, like out their car windows while I'm biking. Not like, nice. Yeah, stuff like that.
That's what I yell at you always.
Just when they're always like, hey, cool bike, or they just say, and it's nothing... bad. It's not always bad, although sometimes it's bad. Mm-hmm. But just the fact that someone's saying stuff at you, right?
Yeah.
They're not saying, hey, how's it going today? How are you? Right? It's just like they're saying stuff at you and you're just trying to process it, going like, what is this? This is not a good situation. So I can sort of empathize in that way.
Yeah.
But the hilarious part about that whole situation was that one of the women was like, oh yeah, I love it. She came in.
Yeah,
like, that's
right.
I love going that way.
Oh, yeah, I love
it's
it.
So nice.
That's right.
They're such nice dudes giving me these compliments.
Yeah. Like, and she was kind of like to the other woman that was like, what? She was like, you like it too, and you know you like it. Which we were like, what? Did that just really? And she's like, whatever.
I'm not advocating one way or another with this.
I am advocating not catcalling, but especially
right, exactly.
Outside of
a place of business.
But it was funny because we have the two kind of, the one
she's
was like no BS woman and she's
mm-hmm.
funny, but
she's also quite tough, which is.
Yeah. Yeah. Swears like a sailor, grew up in an urban environment, whereas the other one did not. So
CrossFit every day kind of thing.
Yeah. Cue the music. Thank you for listening to our show. We'd love to hear from you. Email us at dads@dadsbeingdads.com. We're on Facebook too, /dadsbeingdadspodcast. All four words, all jammed together. Or search Dads Being Dads Podcast. You can find us. Throw us a like and some comments. And of course, iTunes. Send us a review and some sweet, sweet stars. Twitter too, but we'll have to get back on that. But you can find us.